He's made the trip. In
it's outstanding.
He's made the effort. I'll tell you what, this your man Phil Moss, who claims to be all manly, he was bagging you the other day, saying Zorba never comes into the studio.
The poor guy lives an hour and a half away.
And here he is.
Great effort.
Morning, Zorba.
Great effort, Pete.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray. Yeah, good to be here. Exciting. Week before the grand final. I think it's the Roosters grand final, and I think they win clearly, but two fascinating games that we've seen so far this weekend.
As a man who's been there in 73 and a winner, and that was a side that had been there the year before, and now what we've seen with GWS yesterday, is that a concern from a Raiders point of view that they think getting there is good enough and the big stage might scare them a little?
I don't think Ricky, because he's been there and done it as a player and a coach, would allow that to happen. But it's a big stage, and a lot of their players will wonder what's hit them in a grand final, where the Roosters are. They've been there and done it, and they're looking good to me. While ever Cooper Cronk is leading them around, it's like having another coach on the field. I thought he was superb last night. Put him in purple last night, and you've got a different winner.
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah, fair enough. The Roosters' Jared Waria-Hargreaves comes back. But Luke Keary, what do you think, Zorb? He's got a case to answer?
Well, they've certainly got to look at it in light of what's gone on. I think it was a head high. It maybe came off the shoulder. I think they've got to look at it. The hair pulling, he's got too much hair anyway, Kafusi, so they've done him a favour.
Does that mitigate things for
absolutely.
Luke Keary?
Absolutely. Yeah, right, you're going to play football. You're going to play football with that hairstyle. It's going to get pulled, baby.
Josh Hodgson. This is interesting. We were texting each other on Friday night. He stayed on the field after what looked like at least he had to come from the field and have a look at that concussion. And then he was involved in a one-on-one strip, kick for the try, and then a saving of the try with Cody Walker. Big turnaround.
We saw who was the best hooker in the world on Friday night.
Yes.
He's outstanding. Look, this is a big problem in the game. I applaud the NRL for the HIAs and the way that they've got into the system of looking after player welfare. Too many of my old mates are in trouble as a result of playing rugby league and taking head knocks and not being aware of the consequences. So I'm happy with the way the NRL do that, but therein lies a problem. The NRL won't challenge doctors through fear of litigation by questioning the integrity of the doctor's profession.
Yes.
You are questioning every time you say, why didn't you put him into the HIA? The doctor says he didn't need to. Mm. So where can the league take that? Nowhere but to court, and they don't want to do that.
Of course not.
A lot of these doctors are giving their time out of love of the game and love of being involved. So I don't think this is going to go anywhere. Mm. I think they'll ask some questions because the public expect them to, but I don't think we'll get any answers.
Mm. Zorb, would you play Jake Friend and drop Sam Verrills?
No. No, that kid's done a great job. Mm. And to put a player into a grand final, his first game for so long, all the training's not going to get him up. If they were desperate and didn't have a backup, but this kid's done everything asked of him. He's not Jake Friend yet, but he deserves to be there.
He's done it before, Robinson. He mentioned in the press conference 8 weeks Boyd Cordner was out in the lead up to the 2013 grand final. Now, different position, but he has got cover there in Radley and even Orbison.
Yeah, he has. And look, he does the impossible, Robinson. Mm. I thought it was interesting last night that the cameras took us into the room at halftime, and who was giving the halftime speech? Cooper Cronk. Mm. And he stood in the background, the great coach that he is, Robinson, and just let Cooper take over. I think Cooper Cronk is ready to coach an NRL side right now if he wants to.
Right now?
Right now. He could walk out of rugby league as a player, take over a head role in a club and do a great job. That's the way that he... 9 grand finals. Yeah. And he's
4
just,
in a row.
Yeah, he's just an incredible person, player, the like of which we won't see for a long time. He was superb last night, and he got knocked over about 3 or 4 times in the first half after he kicked the ball.
Yes.
He bounces straight up. He doesn't complain. He plays to the line all the time, and there's not many Cooper Cronks around.
No, that's exactly. In fact, in the lead up to that game, yesterday, because it was such an intriguing battle with the coaches, I started looking at some of the records of coaches. Bellamy's is phenomenal. We know that, 68.5%, and two premierships if you take out the other two that they won. Robinson is a lot less than half those matches, 201, but 65.2 and two premierships, and now into another one where they're the $1.40 favourites. It's an imposing record from a man who's still a young coach.
Absolutely. And look, he's got the runs on the board. He's got the job for as long as he likes. I think he'll be there a long, long time. Interesting. The Roosters have made the SCG their home. If you haven't played there, it's the toughest place to play. And in that first half last night, it found Melbourne out. They kicked into touch on the full. They went over the dead ball line.
Yes.
And it's not like Melbourne. Yeah. They improvised by having a field done up in Melbourne, but
not the same.
You can't you can't make the surface the same.
No.
And it goes down in the corners, Jimmy.
Yes.
Like it's a weird place to play.
How did it go with your kicking game back in the day? Because those listeners may not
kick.
He used to hold the goal kicking record at the Parramatta Eels till a bloke named Mick Cronin came along.
Yeah, but they scored all those tries under the post.
Very good. Desi Hasler, how come he wasn't fined? And I know that would hurt more than anything, really, but we were dudded. It's along the same lines of Kangaroo Court from Sam Burgess. Why was Des not fined after that?
Well, I spoke to him during the week, and he's actually crowing about it. He's quite happy that he didn't get fined, and that, you know, I shot the sheriff and got out of it. Yeah. I don't know how he didn't. I said to him, I said, mate, I can't believe you got on the phone and you terrorised the referee boss. I said, and I can't believe you got away with it, because you can't say that you were dudded. But he did, and he's more worried now about doing player reviews. Bit of news over there at Manly, I
what
think.
What is that?
Well, they signed a couple of good young players during the week, a kid called Braden Musgrove from Newcastle, who's a 20-year-old centre. Des can't believe he's been able to get him. He thinks he's a young player on the rise from Cessnock.
Called him, yes.
Yeah. They signed a kid from New Zealand called Caleb Pesse as a junior Kiwi. But the big thing they've got going for them, the hottest under-18 prospect in New South Wales, Josh Schuster, he's signed for another couple of years. And he's an outstanding young player. Every club wanted him.
Named him. You know?
Oh, yeah.
He's a good player.
It will disappoint a number of NRL clubs that Josh Schuster has recommitted himself to.
Albert Hopewadi, they're not getting carried away with him. He's had two knee problems, major surgery. Dylan Walker's agreed to terms.
Hang on. That's all well and good. Mm. What about Tommy T and Jake? What's happening there?
They'll be signed. Des is too cocky about
matter
that.
Of how much money have matter you got? How much money have you got over there? You got a sombrero.
Well, the money will go to the Trebojeviches.
Yes.
To the two props.
Yes.
To Dylan, to a lesser extent.
Will he have to take a pay cut, Dylan Walker?
I think he might.
Hmm.
But he wants to stay.
Because his coach was there side by side all the way through the dramas that he had in the off-season, didn't
exactly.
he?
Exactly, he drove him
that,
to court.
That counts for something.
It does.
Absolutely, it does.
Oh, I understand. It hasn't been announced yet, but two good young players for Manly, Brad Parker and Ruben Garrick, will be named in the Prime Minister's 13, and that'll be good for those young players.
Well, that's what I was saying. When Braden Musgrove signs with the Manly Seagulls, everyone goes, Ruben Garrick did the same thing last year.
Remember, we started at the start of the year, I said, this kid will do something. He's a good young player.
Outstanding. Probably third in the line for Rookie of the Year behind Haas and Mike Acevo.
I think he played every minute of every game this year.
Wow.
Fantastic.
In his rookie year.
That's unreal. Hey, boys, a question to both of you, double barrel question. In terms of Melbourne Storm, this loss will rankle with Craig Bellamy over summer, won't it? They were three games clear, 6 points in front of every other team in the minor premiership. Losing round one of the finals was a massive setback. It's derailed their premiership.
Going out in straight sets is not normal for them. Is it Cameron Smith's last game? He stayed on the field a long time last night after that game. Maybe he can see the writing on the wall. I thought he was again. He's changed his game. I mean, he gets two players wide of the ruck at some stages in a game now.
I think he can.
He can play on if he wants to.
Yeah, I've got no doubt he can.
Does he
play
want
on.
To?
That's the question. I got a feeling, because he bit a couple of times about the criticisms of his wife and because of what the NRL did. And I think the NRL did the wrong thing in putting her and he in a difficult situation. But that rankled him. He didn't like that.
Mm. And no one loves to be,
of course,
you know, bagged all the time. And I saw Bellamy interviewed after the game and he said, look, you know, he's hated here.
Mm.
We can't understand why.
Do you?
Oh, I can, yeah.
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 Yeah. It's amazing.
Because of what he gets away with on the field. Is that what you're saying, Zul?
Well, I think there's that, absolutely. Mm. And he's a Queenslander too.
And he's bloody good.
He went out of his way to, both Cronk and he went out of their way to put a little bit of cold water on
that,
feud.
Post-game, yeah.
After the game last night.
I like that.
Yeah, I did too.
I like that.
He's classy.
Hey, can I ask you, you know what they talk about a lot in this game? And that is ball in play. How much is the ball in play for the 80 minutes? What's not talked a lot about is how long is it from whistle to whistle? How long is that period of time? Because with the HIA now and stopping the game for players that are injured or not injured or pretending to be injured, it just means the game's taking longer and then fatigue becomes less a part of it and the interchange needs to be reduced. Is there an easy solution? Because I can't find one at the moment.
Well, I'd like to see the number of replacements reduced. And I think Peter Vlandy's got a big job ahead of him in, there's a lot of issues in the game which need reviewing straight away. And that's one of them. I think the sin binning is another one. And there's too much time lost in the game.
Should there be a 5-minute sin bin?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. For piddling offences like hair pulling.
Chance Nickel Cox said could have got a 5-minuter.
Yeah, he could have.
Well, what about last night? First tackle. Did that deserve a double sin bin?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, under the rules, it does.
Push and shove.
Under the rules, it does.
First tackle.
Yeah, I think Taki Ayo, well, he gave himself up after the game. He said, I got some good punches in.
He threw a punch.
Well, he admitted it after the game.
That's silly. Like,
he really, like, everyone loves Brad Fittler. Mm. Brad Fittler goes into the room. They want to talk to Freddie.
Yeah.
And Freddie said, oh, what about you? Are you a fighter? And he said, what about that first couple of minutes? And he said, I threw a couple of punches, got a couple in.
They missed, didn't they?
They did. They missed. But he definitely threw punches.
Mm, he did.
And that is the concern.
There's another thing now. Mm. The referees on Friday night put the whistle away.
Yes.
And last night, exact opposite.
Exact opposite.
Mad.
Yeah, well, I mean, who are going to get the referee? Who's going to get the grand final? Cummings and Atkins, I thought, were very good on Friday night.
Yep.
Much better than Sutton and Adam G last night. But you know who'll get it.
So here's the thing. And here's the thing. Whether it's right or not, the perception is Bernard Sutton is the head of referees' appointments and it's his younger brother.
Mm.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because if he gets it, I agree with you, Zul. The Friday night referee should have the grand final.
He's
based
calm.
On form.
Yeah. He's calm.
Yep.
He doesn't get in a panic situation. And there doesn't seem to be a lot of drama in games that he controls.
Good point.
I don't know whether the Roosters have had a problematic relationship with Ben Cummins over the years, but we just wonder what that status is. 13-53-53, the open line number. Just before we go to a break, why don't we take our first caller there that wants to have a chat with you, Zorb. Go ahead, Adrian.
Zorb, g'day, boys. How are we?
Morning, Adrian.
Morning.
Look, mate, I've heard your Zorb comment over the past probably 26 rounds about refereeing decisions and inconsistencies. And I want to talk to you about a few glaring inconsistencies over the weekend. And I'll touch on your referee's comments in a second. In relation to Friday night, there was tackle made by Josh Papali all year. If Dylan Napa or Sam Burgess hit a bloke in the head like that in a tackle, contact clearly made with the head with a point of the shoulder, bloke sits in the bin for 10 minutes. Our player goes off for a HIA. It's been the call all year. Didn't happen. Second point, Luke Keary makes a swinging arm, contact with the head. Yeah, he's only a tiny little bloke on a bigger player. No sin bin. Now, all year, there's been decisions made around this, and they come to the finals, and you get a bloke like Ben Cummins who puts the whistle away, and you ain't going to grand final. Mate, I can't, you know, you blew up about a decision around Jake Dubrovic last week. The consistency was at least there in that decision. Over the, you know, that Friday night game, the decision not to send Papali to the sin bin when we lose our best player on the field at that time, absolutely.
Yeah, look, we've discussed the Luke Keary thing this morning, and there could be a case to answer there, and there probably will be. The Papali one, I don't agree with you. Mm.
Don't agree. I don't agree either. Mm. I think, you know, you looked at it and you looked at it and you thought maybe there was contact with the chin. And if you're saying, well, hang on, how did the concussion come about? Well, there was head on the ground or whiplash, either or. Mm. Could have caused that problem. I know you're emotional about it, Adrian, because your team went down and Adam Dewey was having another
great game.
As he did, as he did the week before, but that is the way we see it here. Again, we've got an SMS here saying that it's actually a rib injury that kept Felice Kaufusi off the field. We haven't got that. That might be a late one coming in. So
yeah, don't know if that's right, though. None of that's been reported this morning. It was simply concussion.
Apparently, Lara Pitt had it on Fox, and obviously we were there at the ground. So
reports this morning.
Gee, there were some HIAs last night, weren't there?
Yes.
A heap of them.
Oh, there were half a dozen.
Remember that game? It was the Rabbitohs versus the Roosters, round 25. And there was a heap of HIA in that one as well. So
a lot of collisions too. Players' heads. That young Pappenhausen, that was a horrible one. Yeah. Gee, he's a good player, that kid.
Isn't he?
He's tough.
Just on the grand final.
Yes.
Could it be the great Ray Warren's last call?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Is that what you're hearing or is that your
prediction? No, I haven't heard that. I just, the way Channel 9, he hasn't done a lot of calling this year.
He hasn't travelled much, has he?
No, he hasn't. Sydney, and so. Look, I just love him calling and I really enjoyed his call last night. He's capable of going on. But maybe he's had enough.
What are your thoughts if you're Channel 9? You want to try and keep him rolling,
going.
Don't you?
Oh, if I'm Channel 9, gee, that head of sport, he needs rabs. He needs a bit of help, that bloke.
I saw Tom Malone last night. He sends his best.
Yeah, good. As I said last week, he's lucky the big KP's not around.
Ooh.
He'd be down Darryl Dole.
13:53:53. Morning, Tom. I know he listens to the program.
Yeah, g'day, Tom. You might learn something.
By the way, Brodie Croft was seen in a clandestine meeting that everyone knew about, so I don't know how clandestine it is. I don't think Craig Bellamy was so happy with the fact that Brodie, he knew he was going up to Sydney. He didn't know he was going for a meeting. However,
Fancy going opposite Bill and Tony. Fair dick, if you want it, you may as well sit in the window.
Yeah, exactly. Does that solve the problem at the Broncos that they have in the halves?
Not for me. I'd be...
Who does?
I'd be searching elsewhere. Oh, this is completely out of left field. But I've been watching the English Super League and the best halfback in England is Jackson Hastings. Mm. And Jackson Hastings, like, that kid got railroaded. I'm disgusted at the way Manly handled it. I thought that Trent Barrett and the then CEO, Lyle Gorman, handled the situation poorly. That kid was shown the door.
He wasn't given a chance when they needed a
5'8".
Yeah, what would Dez have done?
Dez would have had the kid eating out of the palm of his hand well before that happened.
He's playing well over there. He's just signed with Wigan.
And what happened in Gladstone wouldn't have happened with Dez in charge because he knows where his players are after dark.
13:53:53, the open line number. Just quickly before we go to our caller there, this is for Zorb. I like Cade Cust. He's too good for reserve grade. What's Dez going to do with the halves? Croker, Elgie's retired. Cust, Walker and DCE from Sporty Gav.
Sporty Gav. One thing you need in the halves is speed, and the only way that he can get that is look in the dictionary.
Okay, there's your answer. Hello, Rabbit.
G'day, boys. What a pleasure it is to have a knowledgeable bloke like Zorba back on the air. Wake up on purpose just to hear him every Sunday.
Good on you, Rabbit.
Good on you, Rabs.
Now, Zorba, a couple of things. Hopefully everyone was impressed that South actually showed up on Friday night, but what, as a disappointed Rabbitoh who was down there, what I can't stomach is the tactics of the opposition on two counts. One, they should have an independent doctor on the field straight away to inspect people for HIA, with Judge Hodgson being the first case. And the second thing I can't stomach is when Canberra go to take the kick out, they always seem to have an injury. And not the injuries under the post. It's a winger who has a sore foot.
Exactly.
Who takes 2 minutes off the clock.
This is something that the league going to have to do something about it. Maybe to have an area close to the sideline where they can just get a player if he's able to get to the sideline, if it's not a leg injury, then get him to the sideline and get on with the game.
But don't you think that was an unfair unfair to Rabbitohs.
I think they're using the rules. And unfortunately, the rules are the problem. They're just exploiting them. And I agree with you. Look, I thought the Raiders were a little bit lucky, even though they dominated a fair bit of that game. But the try by Jared Croker from the mistake by Corey Allen was lucky. Yes. The try by Jack Whiten, where the ball came off his knee onto his foot and then he scored the try, was very lucky. So Papali's try was essentially the only try that they earned. Mm. But the Rabbitohs had their chances, didn't take them.
Good on you, Rabbit. I couldn't believe, when I first saw that try for Jack White, and I thought, I can't believe he's kicked on tackle zero. That's incredibly brave.
Mm. He dropped it.
He dropped it. Mm. But it was play on. There was no problem with that try. All right, let's keep going with the callers. Mark's there for you, Zorb.
Morning,
you
Mark.
Going, mate?
Yeah, mate.
How you going, Zorb?
Good, thanks.
It's good to listen to rugby league about the PC. with the South game too, mate. With that thing with Hodgson, like you think of the impact in the next 15 minutes? Like,
oh, massive!
He puts that kick in.
Yeah,
and even then, they said a loose carry by Corey Allen, but he actually punches the ball out. It wasn't a loose carry, but that's beside the fact. And the thing is, like, if Corey Allen was going backwards that ball, and you put a hand on the ball in the end goal, it's touch and goal. But how come when he was tackled by Croker, he fell just short of the line, and the ball hit the ground? Why isn't that touching goal? Why was it a line dropout?
Because the player didn't have a hand on him.
Sorry?
No, and the other reason, he wasn't trying to ground the ball in goal. He was trying to bring the ball out from the in-goal area, and that changes it.
That changes it, okay.
Yep, yeah, because he grounded the ball in the in-goal area with the arm, but because he was in the act of trying to get out of the in-goal area, they deem it not a deliberate attempt to ground the ball. Remember when, I think it was Roger Tuivasa-Sheck was playing for the Roosters and he slipped over in the in-goal area and grounded the ball. Then he jumped up
and ran.
And he ran all the way downfield. I think he even scored a try. He went 90
metres. Back.
Yeah, and they went back.
Yeah, I agree with you. Hodgson's involvement in the game during that period, the steal, the kick for the try, the punch out of the ball on Walker, absolutely enormous. And that was soon after he would have been in the HIA area.
Yeah, it's such a huge turning point. And you wonder, what are the signs that they're looking for? And if you say to everyone, oh, we've got to have independent doctors, what does that say about the doctors that are appointed by the clubs?
It might be about equilibrium, but they've got to stand on one leg out there. That's the big test from the guy that comes on. Unbelievable. They were a bit unlucky, South, but they were lucky the week before.
By the way, Doug's there and he says, guys, can you ask Zorba about how Manly appointed their club doctor years ago? It's a classic story.
Oh, I think I've told it a bit that we had a gynecologist by the name of Bob Heim, who was the GPS 100 metres sprint champion. He was golf champion. He was a surfer. He played golf into his 90s and played to his handicap at Eleanora. Mm-hmm. And he sadly passed away. Wonderful man. Brought a lot of the players' babies into the world. But we didn't have a doctor in our golden years of the 70s, and he was our club doctor, the gynae. it's a great story. Wonderful man.
By the way, last time you told that story, there were a number of SMS that came in referring to that, which obviously we can't put to air because we're a family program with Manly and the fact that the club doctor was a gynecologist. 1353 53 is the open line number. Let's get to Gary on the line. G'day, Gaz.
Hello, boys. Just a couple of quick ones. A referee I want to speak about for the grand final and the Bunnies. I want to give Pete, I disagree with you with the Manly Bunnies game. I think Manly lost that a minute 40 in the first half when Jake gives away a penalty on the Bunnies 10-metre line. Unforgivable. And I love Jake, but that was wrong. And the Bunnies score from there. And I think the game was always in the balance. Either team could have won that game. Manly didn't dominate that game. But I want to give the Bunnies a rap on the weekend's performance. They worked their butt sides off. That was an unbelievable game. Campbell to Johnston should have scored. He dummied. And Walker's try. Just smoothing out the rough edges. The Bunnies had a great season. A lot of those games, they had players out of position in a lot of games.
But every club goes through that.
Yeah, you're right. Every club does.
Every club goes through that.
Absolutely. But one thing that Wayne Bennett said in the press conference afterwards, and he was exactly right, we didn't execute. Like, the effort was there. You know, that he went to the well with them.
I think Sam Burgess played busted, and he got worse as the game went on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think you're 100% right.
I'll tell you what would be interesting. If Australia played England now, who would win? I'd want my money on England.
What about New Zealand? We've got Australia, New Zealand.
We're not playing them. I reckon that Wayne Bennett would coach the ears off Mal Meninga. I think Mal's stale. He doesn't get enough work in the terms of coaching. Like, he sits there all year and looks at what's going on, and then he goes into camp, and we've been good enough in years gone by to win games. We're not anymore.
They're playing New Zealand October 25 down at Wollongong, okay. I think it is. So that will be fascinating as well.
Who'll want to play in that? Who'll want to play in the Nines? What about the Nines? Who's going to go to the Nines? They'll have to give tickets away.
I saw James Graham on Friday, and he looks like he's going to be playing for England in the Nines to get some match. He doesn't strike me as a Nines player.
Doesn't strike me as a Nines player.
I tell you who I thought could
doesn't
be a chance.
Doesn't strike me as a 13s player anymore.
I tell you who could be a Nines player for Australia. Ryan Pappenhausen.
Oh, brilliant.
Imagine him in the Nines.
Yeah.
Josh
but would you want to play?
Unstoppable.
Oh, if you're Ryan Pappenhausen, do you want to play in the Nines? Absolutely.
Who wants to go to it?
By the way, we've
got... It's like kissing your mother-in-law. It's not a real, not a real game.
Anyway. But,
move on. Don't you kiss your mother-in-law, I do mine.
Yeah, I do, but she's 13,000 miles away, so that's not too bad.
I was going to say, you've got a, you know,
we've got
big lips.
Brad, a Raiders fan, has sent in, after you're going on about Josh Hodgson, cry me a river, go the Raiders. So thank you, Brad. We do appreciate that.
And
let's
Freddie,
get to a call of Freddie before we get some predictions out of you at this early juncture for the grand final. Hello, Fred.
Yeah, g'day, guys. Just a quick one I want to query you blokes on is the Campbell Graham one where he got tackled and then got up. It looked like he went to pass the ball after the tackler dropped off, but they deemed he was tackled because the hand on him when the ball touched the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. In normal play, like, you'll see a bloke where a tackle drops off and the bloke's allowed to get up and keep running. Why wasn't he allowed just to play on once the bloke dropped off?
No, the bloke didn't drop off. When he was throwing the pass, Aidan Caesar still had an arm on him.
I looked at other angles. I'm sure you could see, like, him actually fall off. And the video ref didn't even play further than that. He just seen the ball hit the ground with the bloke in contact with him, and he called. That constitutes a tackle.
Yep.
Which is fine, but they don't ref like that normally all the time, you know what I mean?
No. They don't ref like that all the time, and that's the biggest problem we've got with the refs at the moment.
We did mention last week, I feel there's going to be some changes with that in the off-season, which will be very interesting.
Well, he's got to do something. Graham Annesley.
Yeah.
He's done nothing but protect the CEO with his Monday meetings and take the flak for that. He's a flak taker.
I'll tell you what he'll probably do. Change his phone number so Des doesn't get him anymore.
Yeah.
By the way, let's go to the market here for this grand final, Zorb, before we let you go. James Tedesco, $4.50 for the Clive Churchill medal. Luke Keary won it last year. He's $5.50. Cooper
Cronk
is $7.50.
Be there. If he's not there...
Who wins?
Yeah. Who wins?
Josh Hodgson is not $9. Let's assume Keary's playing. If you make the assumption that he's not playing, that price head-to-head will change dramatically.
Dramatically. It will. But the fairy tale for Cooper Cronk, I think, will continue.
Cooper Cronk, Clive Churchill?
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. He is third favourite at
$7.50. Last night, who was the best player on the field? Yeah. Cooper Cronk or Boyd Cordner? One of those.
Yeah.
And the judges, don't forget, are the Australian selectors who... You know, can make a mistake.
So, Zorb, are you saying the Roosters can win with or without Keary?
No, I think they need Keary there. I'm tipping them to win 13+, and I'm tipping Tedesco to definitely score at some stage in the grand final.
Say that again. 13+.
Yeah.
The line is 8.5.
Yep.
And the Roosters are out to $2 there. But you like the Roosters 13+ at $2.50.
Yep.
And you think James Tedesco, anytime try scorer, will get that market very shortly. There you go. There's
yeah, he could even score one in both halves, like we did with Sivo the other week.
By the way, you had a good year with these Zappers. Well
done.
Yeah,
we've done pretty well.
I hope the listeners were following them.
And we got some good prices through the tab. And yep. Great.
And we'll make sure we get a really good price for the grand final coming up.
So get on
13+. So, yeah, we'll sort that out during the course of the week. Good on you, mate. Thanks for coming in.